have an army. We have a Hulk.
To episode 134 of We Have a Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film, TV, and very rarely comic books. I'm one half of the podcast, Nicola.
And I'm Co-Pilot Chris.
And we finally return.
So
long, we apologise. But yes, I hope everyone is well. By the time you're listening to this, we'll be in sunny but probably rainy Wales. We'll see.
Sunny but rainy.
Yeah, we're going to do some walking and some hiking and stuff, maybe.
And possibly not sunny as well.
Yeah. Well, we're taking a lot of books, so hopefully we'll get a couple of books. That would be good.
Yeah.
Yes. So, what are we going to be talking about in this week's episode then, Chris?
Well, we got Home of the Hulks. Basically, that's this episode is Home of the Hulks.
Pretty much, yeah.
We're going to do like a TV section, mm-hmm. and then we're going to do an interview with...
Yes. Tim Sheridan, who is the writer of Superman, Man of Tomorrow. He's also done DC Superhero Girls. He's also written for Justice League Action. What else? Reign of Superman, Masters of the Universe. So, yes.
Good, good. And then we've got the end of our At Home of the Hulks, where we'll be talking about films.
Yes. Because we've been watching so much stuff.
Seen a lot in the last month.
Yes. Got a little burn. But quickly, shall we just open things off with DC Fandime? So yes. I know a lot of other podcasts have done this in depth. So go and check out like Nerd Chatting, Get Your Comic Con.
Indeed.
Have done a good write-up on this. So yeah, go and check those guys out for a more in-depth. We're just going to briefly talk about what were your thoughts on DC Fandime, Chris?
Oh, it was great. I was really surprised how well they did it and
yes.
stuff. There was a lot of good stuff in there.
I'm trying to remember what there was now.
I mean, early on it was like Sandman and stuff like that. That kind of got me quite interested.
Neil Gaiman, in that checking was quite those interesting. Out. Yeah. Although we didn't reveal too much today because it's going to be a Netflix show and he was like, I can't really tell you anything.
I can't.
Yes.
But yeah, and there was lots of other stuff as well. There's
Wonder Woman trailer. Wonder Woman. We saw Cheetah. What did you think about Cheetah?
Yeah, we'll see. I think it looks good.
Yeah, Batman. That was exciting.
Yes.
That looks good. What are your thoughts? Because you're not a huge fan of Batman. Let's be honest.
No, and I'm not a huge fan of films either. I think this looks a lot more creative and interesting. Mm. And like, my problem with some of the old ones is that they're kind of uninteresting visually and stuff.
Okay.
I find. So I think this looks quite cool.
Yeah. It looks a bit like David Fincher, I think. Like Seven. There's an actual sort of murder mystery sort of thing.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I am vengeance. Pew, pew, pew.
We'll see. But,
that looks good. Black Adam
looks great, yeah. I've got to love a bit of Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. So.
We had Shazam 2 title released. A Suicide Squad 2, or The Suicide Squad. This looks good.
Wasn't that a game?
No, there were two games as well. Sorry, I forgot to talk about it. There were two games, but there was the James Gunn Suicide Squad sequel.
Yeah, sure. I like James Gunn. So, yes.
And that cast is huge.
Yes.
So that's going to be exciting. I think it's interesting that he's kind of gone down the route. He's saying it seems a bit more like Apocalypse Now, that they've sort of been dropped in this remote place and they're going to have to...
Who did the first Suicide Squad?
David Ayer, I believe. I actually quite liked that film, but there we go.
I quite enjoyed it up until those weird, like... Eye monsters showed up. What was that?
Were they eye monsters?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen this.
Oh, also the Justice League trailer where we played Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. That was a weird...
I'm pretty sure I did that in Watchmen.
Audio track.
Yeah.
For it. It's a little bit too much for me. It's like, really?
A bit on the nose.
You're so... Yeah. That said, you know, I'll give it a watch. I think it might be all right. I feel like he does, with his like color grading and stuff, he does it really almost over the top, and
yeah,
it just becomes
like
a bit like,
oh,
when I'm noticing the color grading more than I'm noticing what's happening in the scenes, I'm probably, yeah. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, the games look really good. So there was Suicide Squad. So I think it was something like Suicide Squad versus Justice League or something.
Okay.
That looked really fun. You had Bad Superman. But then, the Batman game, that looked amazing. So it was Batman Family, wasn't it? So you could play with either Red Hood, Dick Grayson as Nightwing, Batgirl, and then you had Tim Drake, Robin.
I think it had a bit of a... It was like Arkham. Arkham games or whatever, but combined with a bit of like the Superman
okay.
and a game. Because they were all like swinging around stuff as well.
Do you mean Spider-Man?
What did I say?
Superman.
I said Superman. Yeah. I meant Spider-Man.
Okay.
And it just looks, it feels very similar to that as well, which is interesting. It's like kind of melding. But yeah.
Yes.
Looks good.
We'll be getting the second part of DC Fandome next weekend, and that'll be more sort of TV and comic books.
So yes, just to be clear, I'm aware that Spider-Man is Marvel, but
Yes. Right then, shall we start with TV?
Let's.
Okay, so let's kick things off with The Boys Season 2.
The Boys Season 2!
The Boys are back in town, quite literally. What were your thoughts on this, Chris?
It's really good. I kind of lost interest a little bit in the middle, I feel like.
That's fair.
But then it came back strong. I do feel like this, the first season, for me, it was quite powerful as well because it was something quite different and I felt like it had something to say.
Yeah.
You know, and this season, I guess it's still saying the same thing, so it's kind of like
it didn't have
that quite same impact that it had on me originally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still really like it. It's very sensationalist and kind of just over the top, gory, very
overtly.
it's almost trying to offend you.
Yeah.
It's trying to offend. It it knows it's offensive to some people, and it's cool with that, and I like that. But yeah.
It's sort of in the same realm as Preacher, because that was gory for gory's sake, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's very similar, kind of, yeah. He's involved, isn't he?
Seth Rogen's exec producer, and he's exec producer on Preacher too, so that kind of makes sense.
I feel like Kripke's like the main creative lead kind of thing. Which is cool. I really like him, and he did Supernatural, right, which is one of my favourite shows. So that says a lot, I feel. That says a lot.
Okay, yeah. I really enjoyed it too. I thought, similar to you, it did feel kind of samey, but I love that in the same way that it just takes the mick out of superhero stuff so much. And there was so much like Batman versus Superman in the background, like there were posters and stuff. Right, right. And it was just, and they were ripping into the press, and it was very interesting. Obviously, it takes a bit of a turn further on in the series. I'm not going to say too much about
that. Sure, yeah, yeah.
But that may sort of offend some people.
I mean, if you're going into this show not expecting to be somewhat offended at some point. I mean, they even kind of went on a whole thing with like British accents, didn't they? They went up down the whole kind of EastEnders kind of accent.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think you just have to kind of
go with it.
Sort of wear it on your sleeve kind of thing. I don't know if that's a...
Is that a term?
Is that a term?
But yeah, actually, towards the end of the series, it became quite emotional, and I was really surprised by that. Hmm. And I was like, oh, it's got a little bit of depth, actually.
I
quite like that. We learned a bit more about Billy Butcher, which was great. And for some reason, I actually really, really like The Deep now. I thought his arc was fantastic in this series. A-Train was still a bit of a dick, but he was quite funny.
Had a bit of an interesting thing as well.
Who did, sorry?
Maeve.
Yeah, Maeve was great.
Some of the boys. To know them a little bit better, maybe.
The great thing about this, it felt more of the same, but it took it down another level, I think. You found out a lot more about some of the backstories and stuff, which felt earned this time around. I just really love it. I think it's great. I know, I'm sorry, Marvel and DC. I just think this has a bit more to it than the sort of...
A little bit more high concept.
Yes.
But perhaps less so this season because we already had a season.
But... True. But more head explosions. Oh my gosh, there's so many head explosions.
Yeah.
If you do not like gore... I mean, I'm sorry. If you didn't like the first series, don't watch the second series, basically.
Yeah, that's obvious, right?
If you love the first series, go and watch the second series.
It's not something completely different.
It's more of the same. Also, can I just say, Anthony Starr, who plays Homelander, is absolutely fantastic. He is absolutely terrifying.
He's terrifying.
The guy from Breaking Bad is fantastic. Giancarlo
Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant in Breaking Bad. And he plays a very similar character, actually.
Yes, like weirdly professional, but very menacing at the same time.
And he's great in The Mandalorian as well.
Yes.
So, I really love that guy.
We'll see more of him in season 2, which is exciting. That got a release date, the end of October. Sorry, briefly talking about Mandalorian. That's quite exciting.
Ooh.
He was fantastic. We saw a bit more of Black Noir as well, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Every scene with him. That is absolutely hilarious. I just love the show.
Talk about an Achilles heel.
Yes. Indeed. I cannot wait for season 3. We are getting Jensen Eccles in it.
Yes.
That is going to be fantastic.
Getting
so,
the dream team back together.
Yes. How would you rate this then, Chris?
Yeah, I'd still give it
two thumbs up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I have to, really.
I have to. I feel obliged.
I have no choice.
Okay. Yeah, I absolutely love this one too. I gave it a 4, but mainly just because it's a bit more of the same, if
yeah,
that makes sense.
I agree
but
with
I love
that.
The same, so, you know.
But I'd still say 4 is 2 thumbs up.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so next we've got Lovecraft Country. So this is HBO/Sky Atlantic. This is based on H.P. Lovecraft novels, like the Monsters Of sort of thing. And yeah, this is definitely out there, shall we say. So it's Misha Green, who's the writer. We've got exec producers Jordan Peele, J.J. Abrams, which you can kind of feel throughout the series. We've watched 5 episodes so far. I believe that's halfway.
Yes, probably.
What are your thoughts on Lovecraft Country, Chris?
I'm freaking loving it. I think it's great. So this is... Lovecraft Country is a book based on the Lovecraft stuff.
Yes. I think it's sort of exploring how the sort of racism...
The race stuff going
on.
Because... I think he was supposed to be a bit of a racist or something.
Yes.
So,
which is
yeah.
ironic because this is about race, right?
Yeah. I think they're really great. I think all the characters are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all badasses as well, which is really cool to see. They're not like, you know... I mean, like, they're being so downtrodden and everything. And yet they're just... They're dealing with it. It's incredible. It's incredible to see.
They're facing off against, like... to get cold and monsters
and also
and stuff.
White people at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
Which is almost their worst one, really, isn't it? Which is kind of shocking. Yeah, I'm loving it. I think it's brilliant. Episode 3 was a little bit scary for my taste.
Yes, they brought out the Ouija board and we're like,
it's late. Should we watch this? We came back and watched it like the next morning or something.
Yeah.
But it was fine in the end. It wasn't too bad. But ghosts. For some reason, ghosts is...
I find this really fascinating because there's sort of, sorry to just jump in there, it's a bit of an anthology type deal, isn't it? So each episode has a certain theme. One, there's like an Indiana Jones action adventure thing, which is great.
Yeah.
The one we were just talking about, there's like a haunted horror sort of experiment sort of thing.
So I think Lovecraft did a lot of different kind of horror
aspects. Yeah.
Stories, didn't he? Like lots of different ones.
We've got the huge collection, but never read it.
So yeah, it's kind of like each episode takes on a different kind of, I guess, something from his universe and puts that as the kind of main storyline of the episode. But then they have these kind of racial things going on and stuff at the same time.
Yes.
And it's very well done.
It's really well done. I mean, the production alone is fantastic. It feels so authentic. The costumes, the location, fantastic 50s, the songs.
Yes.
But I've just got to say, Journey Smollett-Bell is fantastic as Letitia Lewis. She's by far the best actor in the whole series. Although Jonathan Majors, Atticus Freeman is also really, really good.
Oh, great.
They're all great. They're all really likable, but some aren't likable, and that's interesting.
Hmm.
That's all I'm going to say. I can't say too much because... I just think it's fantastic. I mean, we had Watchmen last year, and that was an interesting take on the superhero genre and how they kind of weaved the racial themes into that. And this is also kind of a similar thing, whereas obviously in Watchmen they shone a light on that awful massacre, which was horrendous, which I knew nothing about, and this I've also learned about some downtowns.
I had no idea.
No, which is insane. I feel like some history has definitely been hidden, so I appreciate that they're sort of bringing this to the forefront, especially at this sort of time. But that being said, it's not like overtly bashing it across your head, is it? I don't know.
Maybe it starts that way a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It very quickly jumps in and says, right, we're going to discuss some topics here.
Yes.
That are very kind of close to the bone right now as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then I think it gets into the other stuff as well.
There's like an overarching story, isn't there, about Atticus Freeman's sort of bloodline and what impact that has, which is very interesting. There are monsters, but it's kind of like humans are almost worse than the monsters. And that's a very interesting sort of standpoint, I think.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, wildly creative, just really enjoyable. I would definitely recommend you watch this.
Indeed. 3 thumbs up. Is that possible? No.
Three thumbs up. Also, we've been watching Away. So this is a new Netflix drama. Space drama? Is that a genre?
Space drama.
Space drama.
Yeah, because it's not, I wouldn't really, it's a little bit sci-fi. It's a little bit sci-fi.
It dips its toes. Yeah. It feels a bit Martian-esque, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was very sci-fi though. That's very confusing. It's confusing.
Okay.
I feel like this, you can't really call it proper sci-fi because there are episodes where it really it's doesn't do drama, any sci-fi.
Like family drama.
Yeah, it's very human-based drama kind of stuff.
But yeah, this stars Hilary Swank. I think there's 10 episodes at the moment. We are on, we've just finished episode 9.
Yes.
As we said, it is very heavily family drama, whereas we like more spacey stuff. Obviously, we're big fans of Star Trek, so sometimes it does, there's not that much action and it's more introspective.
Yeah, I mean, not most, but some of the episodes have like something happening in space and then stuff going on Earth at the same time, kind of like a
parallel.
I mean, it deals with the whole idea of being away, right?
Yeah.
The mum is away and the family's back on Earth and they're dealing with that dynamic of them not being able to be.
Like, yeah, and conveniently the father has some sort of accident.
Yeah, and it does get a bit dramatic at times. I like the episodes where there's actually something going on in space as well, like something goes wrong and they have to fix it. That's kind of cool. But there are episodes where that doesn't happen at all and there's barely any space stuff.
Yeah.
So,
be warned. So, I did a quick summary on Twitter. I sort of, our thoughts, probably gave it like a 3 stars. How do you feel about that?
I'm really enjoying it. You know, okay. I think the space stuff is enough to kind of keep me interested.
Yeah.
Because I would probably get bored if it was just the drama aspect.
Yes.
But I do feel it works together quite well. And it's an interesting idea of how do you deal with that kind of separation and stuff. I do think maybe you could just do it on Earth. But then it's less realistic because, you know, you could just get a plane back or whatever.
So. True. Okay.
Yeah.
Talking about space. We've watched 2 episodes of Star Trek Lower Decks. Chris, what are your thoughts on this? Because, can I just briefly...
Set the scene, Nicola.
Set the scene. we watched the trailer at San Diego Comic-Con, I believe. The Comic-Con one at home. Chris watched it. It's from, I think, the producers of Rick and Morty. Mm. So me and Neil from Get Your Comic-Con were like, right, this must be up Chris's street. It must be his bag because it's Rick and Morty and it's Star Trek sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then he watched the trailer.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of... animation in general, really. I prefer live action stuff.
Okay.
Just a preference of mine.
Mm-hmm.
There are obviously animation stuff that I do really like the good ones, you know, the really good ones, Disney's, the old Disney's, and like the Studio Ghibli's and stuff.
Yeah.
And Rick and Morty. So yeah, the animation style I really like. I was a bit worried watching it that it was going to be too irreverent towards the subject matter, you know, Star Trek. I love Star Trek. So... if it was going to be, like, just completely taking the piss out of it, I probably would have been like, oh,
I don't like it.
This makes me sad.
But...
and I do feel like there's a little bit of that. I'm not completely sold on.
It's a bit self-referential.
The animation style is great, and I'm enjoying it. I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but laugh, so... I'm going to stick with it.
Okay.
I think I do like it.
You were like, I think we've just finished episode...
one of those things where I'm kind of annoyed.
You were like, oh, I do quite like this. And lastly, for TV, we have been watching Avatar The Last Airbender. Because I've never completed this. And I know it's on a lot of people's like top lists of great animation. And I'm loving it. I think it's great. I'm sad that it's coming to an end, though.
Yeah, we got like 5 episodes left or something, haven't we?
Yes. The last one is like a film, isn't it? It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, we've checked the times.
The run times. How much more do we have left?
How many hours?
When can we fit this in?
Yes. So, yeah, I love that show. It's just really, really well done. Animation on that is great as well.
Yes.
So that's another one that I like. So there are ones that I like, you know, just put that out there.
Yeah. Okay, so out of all the TV we've watched recently, what would you recommend?
Oh, what did we talk about again? I'd recommend everything.
Okay, we watched The Boys.
The Boys, if you like The Boys season one,
mm-hmm.
or if you haven't seen any of it yet, if you don't mind a bit of pretty hardcore swearing, blood splatter,
there's lots of
hardcore gore.
Tuesday.
It's pretty, the show is pretty hardcore. If you like that stuff, then you'll probably enjoy the show.
Yes.
If you don't, then don't.
Yeah. Lovecraft.
Lovecraft, amazing. I think everyone should watch it.
I think it's definitely one of our favourite shows at the moment. It's just so creative,
isn't it? It's my favourite show. I think it's great.
Well, even more than The Boys?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Away?
I think if you're into like spacey stuff, then I would check it out. There's a lot of drama in there.
To be warned.
So be warned. Yes. Yes. It's not complete sci-fi. It's not.
Star Trek Lower Decks. If you like Rick and Morty, you'll like this, I think, and Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's quite got the same depth as Rick and Morty, but it's very funny and it looks great. So, yeah.
Okay. Airbender, as we said, yes. Also on Netflix at the moment is Cobra Kai, and I would hugely recommend this. We haven't talked about it because I think we talked about it quite a while ago because it was on YouTube Red initially.
Yeah, it's not new, is it?
I mean, no, but it's new on Netflix, and I know a lot of people are now watching it, which is great. Two seasons. I think we just ran straight through them, didn't we? They were just really good. Hugely nostalgia.
Yes.
Based.
Nostalgia introducing.
If you like Karate Kid, you'll love this. It's interesting to see it from a different perspective as well, I think. See both sides of the story. So, I would also highly recommend that.
Indeed.
Okay, so that's it for TV. Let's kick things off with the interview. So, Tim Sheridan, writer of Superman, Man of Tomorrow. So hi Tim, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I feel great. How are you?
I'm good. I absolutely love the film. Watched it today. The animation style is just fantastic as well.
I know. I wish I could take credit for that part, but I can't. But it's beautiful.
It's
really
gorgeous.
Is.
Definitely, definitely. How long has the idea sort of been cooking?
Well, I don't know. Maybe my whole life. I think we start, I don't know, you know, I can't remember exactly when we started on, we started talking about the movie a few years ago. You know, Butch Lukic and Jim Krieg and I sat down and started figuring out sort of what our way in would be for a Superman movie. And I think from the very beginning, we were all on the same page that we wanted to do a story about the early days in Metropolis, you know, which is something we hadn't seen a lot of, and we wanted to explore that a little bit.
So when you first started writing the story, did you have a sort of specific actors in mind? Because Quinto and Hirsch just seem absolutely perfect for the roles.
Yes. First of all, if I had known in the beginning that we would have the kind of cast that we were able to secure to work on this movie, I might have been too intimidated to write it. I think Darren Criss, Zach Quinto, you know, Alexander Daddario, Brett Dalton, E.K. Amati. I mean, if I start naming them, I'm just going to, you know, take up all your time. But it's such an amazing, stellar cast that I think they set a new standard. I think they really raised the bar in terms of, you know, how... I think any one of them, by the way, you could see in a live action adaptation of Superman. So, it's incredible. But if in the beginning, my idea for who should be Superman was me. I should be Superman.
Obviously.
But that's all ego. Yeah, that's just ego.
So we've got villains like Rowan Parasite. We've got hero Martian Manhunter. They were super crucial to like Clark's early journey of like self-discovery and finding his place in this sort of world. Were there any other DC characters you would have liked to include if you could extend the runtime at all?
Oh my gosh. First of all, if I could extend the runtime, I can't tell you, unfortunately, all the things that I would do if I could extend the runtime a little bit. We actually had, I will just say this as a tease, but I'm not going to tell you any details about it. But we had some additional scenes and some additional stuff and some additional characters in versions of the script. And they served different roles. But they were characters that were very familiar to audiences. And but, you know, ultimately, you know, you have to see what's in service of this story that we're telling. And as much as I want to dream big and, you know, introduce every character in the DC canon in one movie, you know, they wisely reined me in.
Yeah. I mean, we had Lobo, Martian Manhunter, Supes. They're all sort of the last of their own kind, aren't they? How important do you think the theme of like perceived view of refugees is still in today's world as when it was when Supes was created?
I mean, I think that what we've seen is a boomerang in terms of like it is as big, if not bigger, and as important today as it was when Superman was created. And I think that it's a universal thing. But I think, you know, if you just turn on the news today, you see that those kinds of stories are in the news all the time. And so there's always room to explore that. Now, having said that, let me say that my approach to this was much more general than that. We weren't setting out to tell a story about immigrants necessarily. What I wanted to tell was a story about feeling like an outsider, being a stranger in a strange land, and sort of, you know, how you deal with that and what it means to be a human.
Definitely. I mean, he had this such empowering speech right at the end. How long did that take to nail that speech?
Oh my gosh. I want to lie to you and say I did it in 5 minutes. Yeah. No, we went back and forth on it. You know, I will say that was not something that was in the first draft. Jim Krieg, our producer, one of his first notes was, he said, you know, what we need is a big rallying speech from Superman. It's what Jim, who's a big Star Trek fan, called the Captain Kirk speech.
Yes.
You know, yeah. where he, you know, can change people's hearts and minds. And I think that was so in keeping with where Butch Lukacs wanted to go with this movie. He said from the beginning, we're going to take a real character-based, independent movie approach to this, which meant that as much as people think that we're building to an Act 3 that is epic, you know, huge consequences and big action, yeah, there is action and there's big action, but you can't, for this type of movie, we couldn't just get away with doing a giant action sequence and not having... not winning the hearts, not having Superman win the hearts and minds of the people. And that was the impetus for that speech.
Definitely. And I mean, I absolutely loved Lobo. He was so much fun in this. I know it's like completely different from Supes in a way, but please say he pops up again somewhere. I so want to see more of him.
I didn't expect that I was going to have as much fun writing that dialogue as I did. I was giddy, and I hadn't really spent a lot of time with the character. So it was really fun. It was actually disturbing how easy it was to call on that voice.
Right.
But it's an important voice in the movie because it's such a huge counterpoint to Clark. There's a scene in which you see, you know, just, you know, you see Lobo behaving just in the worst possible way. And then Superman comes in and represents the exact opposite type of person. And that person is, you know, what we hope for the man of tomorrow, you know, to be. So that was, you know, that was a lot of fun to write it, but it's also a little disturbing when you actually start writing those lines and you realize, oh, I can call on this voice.
Yeah.
But I think that's just from decades of comic book reading. I think that's where that comes from.
Wasn't there something about a mating dance as well?
Yeah, I think it was the Appalachian mating dance, I think. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's a boorish man of yesterday who, yeah, you know, is stuck in a different time. And that's just all he'll be. And, you know, I think that there is room, you know, we have those men in our lives. We have those people in our lives all the time, people like Lobo. And we can, you know, unfortunately, we live with them every day in big ways. They hold huge positions of power. And I think that, you know, we sometimes we reject them outright. And sometimes when those people are, you know, part of our family, we have to find a way to sort of coexist with them. And that is sort of, I think, touches on sort of where we land in the movie.
Yeah. And just the last one, if I've got any time. If you get to develop more stories with this version of Supes, which I think you've alluded to a little bit, do you have anything specific in mind?
I am not going to do Reign of the Superman again, because I already did that. That's all I can
say.
No, you know, I mean, I think this, what'll be interesting is to see, I'll be real quick. What will be interesting to see is, and there are, by the way, no plans. Nobody's asked me to do anything. But if they're to see this version of Superman with his small sort of world that he has in Metropolis, see him on a larger scale the way we get to see him in other media. Someday, it will be fun to see Darren's Superman going up against huge cosmic forces. That's all.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Nicola. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Film section. We have been watching a lot of films. Briefly, just quickly talk about Fantasia.
That was good. That was funny.
Okay. Let's briefly talk about Fantasia Film Festival. Canadian Film Festival. It's like a genre festival, which is great. I managed to get a press pass, which was fantastic. Mm. Press accreditation. So I've been watching a lot of films recently, haven't I? And they've been kind of interesting. So I just quickly run through them. Paper Tigers, which was great. It was funny. It was a bit Cobra Kai-esque as like old people. Old people. So it was basically three guys who had grown up, come back, find out the mystery of who killed their Sifu. It was really good. It was really funny, but also very heartfelt. That was good. I watched The Oak Room, which was absolutely fantastic. This was RJ Mitty from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
And it was just super atmospheric. And it was like, like basically set in one room about a bar, and it was this guy telling the story about what happened in the bar, but it wasn't always told chronologically.
Interesting. You said I might like this one.
Yes.
Is it a bit horror though or something?
It's kind of a little bit horror. Okay. It's interesting. I really like that. I thought that was great. I actually won an award, so well done to everyone, the creative team involved in The Oak Room. Cool. I watched Minor Premise as well. So this was a bit of a sci-fi sort of psychological thriller. Basically, this guy who was trying to fix his machine that could edit memories and stuff, which is kind of an interesting concept. It went wrong. His personality fragmented into 10 different personalities. And basically, it was a race against time to sort of get them back together before something went wrong.
That's interesting because, Elon Musk has his Neuralink starting to come out, so that's sort of like a machine that can edit personalities almost.
Which is weird, yeah.
I mean, it's not designed for that, but I wouldn't be surprised if we went down that kind of Black Mirror kind of route.
And I also watched Block Island Sound, and you watched that too, and that was interesting. It was sort of like a horror psychological thriller, wasn't it?
I thought it was good.
A bit unexpected, a couple of twists and turns. So you thought it was sort of kind of going down the route that he was kind of losing his marbles.
Got this feeling that there was something going on the island, like it was actually a sound. Like I got the idea that it was actually like some sort of signal
frequency
that was making people go crazy or something. Mm-hmm. But it's not not quite.
Yeah. I mean, definitely not what I expected.
No, not what I expected either. Went in a different direction, but it was good. I enjoyed it. Although very nicely put together.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised because these are all like indie films.
Yeah.
And they were really actually really well done. So hats off to everyone involved in that.
Indeed.
Yes. So let's quickly talk about the films we've been watching. Enola Holmes.
Yay. Enola Holmes, yeah.
Let's start with this. Millie Bobby Brown. There's also Henry Cavill, Helena Bonham Carter. Who else? It's just so many people involved in this film. Very British, which is great.
Who is Mycroft?
Sam Claflin, that's the one.
So
from Hunger Games.
Yeah, and Henry Cavill was Sherlock,
which was an interesting. Initially, I wouldn't have kind of put him as Sherlock, but I really liked him as Sherlock. Yeah, he had quite a lot of heart to him.
Yeah,
and there was a moment where he kind of went ha, and it was great. You'll see what I mean when you watch it. Yeah, I don't really want to say too much about this film. It was actually quite political, which surprised me. Mm, like about the suffragettes and obviously the women's sort of independent movement.
The feminist thing going on. Sure,
yeah, which I loved. And a bit like Mulan, actually. It was sort of about taking your own path and not kind of going against society sort of expectations.
I guess it's a bit like the Lovecraft thing where it's sort of taking something that was written a long time ago and saying, if this was done now, maybe we'd have some more female characters in it and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Enola Holmes wasn't actually in the original books or anything.
I don't think so. It was sort of a YA sort of spin-off.
Yeah.
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 Nah. Yeah, I thought it was great. She was brilliant.
Yes.
And it's hard to imagine her going back into doing like
Stranger Things
now. Because she just seems
so well suited.
Yeah, she seems older and she seems more?
You American?
Bit of an action thriller. Yeah, just older and a bit more sort of matured. And
yeah.
So it's hard to, but you know.
Because I actually really, really had a good time with this. It's about 2 hours, which surprised me, but it just kind of
flew by.
It did, yeah.
Flew past.
It was great. There was a lot of, obviously, the usual sort of Sherlock elements in there. There was like a cryptic code you had to work out and stuff.
A bad guy. You know.
Yes, a very, obviously, always the same sort of bad guy. What's his name? Bern Gorman.
Yeah.
He always plays bad guys. He's really good at bad guys. Just got a face for a bad guy.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really great. I'm not going to say anything more about it because I really want everyone to watch this. So I would give this a huge 2 thumbs up. Chris?
Yes, same. Great.
Okay, so Mulan hit Disney Plus on Premier Access, which has been a bit of a sticking point for a lot of people because it's $19.99.
Yeah. Started off at like $29.99, didn't it?
Yeah, in America.
Oh, that was.
So this was obviously based on the 90s animated original. Yes. It's another live action adaptation, which always a little bit controversial. Mm. Let's be frank. Up to now, my favorite personally has been Beauty and the Beast. I really like that one. But this might just top that, actually, for me. I think it's...
I'm with you. I think this and Beauty and the Beast are hands down the best two. The rest of them are kind of on a lower level.
On
really.
The trash. I was like, sorry.
Sorry to say, but...
Well, this Cinderella's quite good.
That was one of the earlier ones, wasn't it?
Yes.
The first one.
Yeah.
I don't really remember that one, to be honest. I'm not even sure I see this on that one.
Although I did quite like Maleficent.
But that's not really a remake, is it?
No, that's sort of from a different perspective.
It's like a different perspective from... Is it Snow White?
Yes.
For
me, I don't want to spend too much time talking about this one per se. But just it's the locations are fantastic. Yep. Costumes are great.
Yes.
The action is great, although I would have kind of wanted a little bit more action.
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm like action. I like the right amount of action. I don't like too much action. I think it looked brilliant. I think some of the sets were a little bit obvious, a bit like
Aladdin.
They were in Aladdin, but a bit. I think they were much better than Aladdin. And the only kind of sort of cartoonish sort of CGI 3D animation that I noticed was the bit where she was on the horse and there were a couple of little rabbits.
Oh yeah, that was a bit weird.
weird. But other than that, I thought it was great. They did have like some of the kind of rope work and stuff that they have in kind of Eastern films.
Yeah, like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, but I like that because it fits. It's like, that's the genre, isn't it, really? So, yeah, I think it was very well made.
Mm-hmm. I thought the performances were great as well. I liked the addition of the new woman. And I just thought it was a really good sort of balance of sort of a couple of funnies in there. But also quite a lot of sort of heartwarming moments, and there was great camaraderie between the soldiers, and I really liked it. Although, another slight criticism, they had Donnie Yen in there and Jet Li, and there wasn't really much they were doing with them. And these are like amazing people.
It's true. Jet Li barely moved.
Although when he did sort of make like impressive things.
It was like an embryo, he was just sort of mostly a statue, wasn't
Which was surprising. But yeah, there's a nice cameo in there as well. I'm not going to spoil that, but look out for that, which was good. I did miss the music, but the score does replicate it quite a lot, so that's fine.
I think they they knew the path they wanted to go down with this, didn't they? And that was to keep it more serious. And
definitely, But it really worked,
There were some jokes in there as well, some funnies.
I liked the matchmaker.
She was great. Inspired a bit.
That was good. And the relationship with Mulan and her father was quite nice as well. And just the sort of theme of taking your own path and stuff is quite nice.
Which is the same theme from the original.
Yes.
Which just shows how
it's
on the ball they've
been. Thing, I liked it. A lot of these live action adaptations, and not like mainly with The Lion King, it's like a beat for beat remake, and it's almost like, what's the point? Or is this is very. It takes the like source material and it does it really well and really creatively and
Yeah, and Beauty and the Beast added a little bit of
it did
a little
bit
of extra flavour, didn't it?
So. Extra flavour, Josh Gad was in there.
Yeah, that was great.
And
they added a little bit of extra story about going back to Paris or something.
Yes, about her mother and stuff. So she had a sister. Mulan had a sister. So there was a little bit more sort of fleshed out sort of the relationships and things. But yes, how would you rate this? And is it worth the $19.99?
I would rate 2 thumbs up. We've rated everything 2 thumbs up so far, but it was really great.
Except for Away. That was probably one thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One and a bit, well.
We're going to be talking about the New Mutants next. So that may change.
Did we not rate Away?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll give it one thumbs up. That way we can feel like we're
not doing overly our jobs. Generous.
Yeah, 2 thumbs up, really great. Just really nicely put together. Mm-hmm. It felt like a return to form in some ways because I feel like some of them have been a bit like
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Would you pay 19? I paid it personally, but
yeah. I mean, it kind of depends on your home situation, doesn't it, really? Because,
yes.
Like, if you were going to go to the cinema to see it and you were going to pay, like, £8 a ticket and you have a family of 4 people or whatever.
You're going to buy popcorn and sweets and stuff.
So then, in that case, it's a deal.
Yeah. It's a steal.
It's a steal of a deal. But if you're just, like, a couple and... I mean, even then, it's kind of close to the price for a couple. If you're on your own, then maybe it's not a good deal.
But personally, from your point of view, I think you prefer watching stuff at home anyway.
It's more convenient.
You put it in cinema mode.
Turn the lights off.
But I think this, it's a shame because I think this is possibly one of the most cinematic of the live actions. And
yes.
I think it really would have fitted a cinema
release.
Which is a shame. I definitely would have watched it at the cinema. But I enjoyed watching it at home. And I think personally... If you've got a family, $19.99 is fine. If not, just wait till December when it comes out on general release on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I mean, just work it out, right?
Okay. Next, the New Mutants. Ooh,
New Mutants.
Interesting. So, Chris.
I was surprised that you and Neil didn't love it.
Really?
Because I was enjoying it. I thought it was good. I mean, I know that it had problems and stuff in production, didn't it?
Oh my gosh, the amount of delays.
Yeah, and so... Knowing that, going into it, I would have thought it was going to be awful.
Hot trash.
Hot trash, because, you know, these things, they tend to end up fragmented and terrible, don't they? But I thought it was a nice little story. It kind of just went through and was good. I don't know, do you know what I mean? Like, it flowed nicely, and I think it was a little bit better than the other mutant stuff, the kind of other X-Men stuff.
Dark Phoenix, much better than
Dark Phoenix. But I mean, even for me, some of the original X-Men stuff, I know I'm treading off thin ice here, but they're not really my kind of films, whereas I feel like this was a little bit more human, went into their backstories, and a little bit more grounded, even though there was a lady with a sword for a hand, and...
I loved her.
She was
cool. I thought she was great. This is an interesting one. I really liked it, but there wasn't really much to it.
No, it was a smaller story, for sure.
Yeah, they were kind of setting it up for almost a sequel, and we know there's not going to be a sequel. Yeah, it was sort of, I feel like it was setting up the universe, and obviously the New Mutants are a team in their own right in the comic books.
Mm.
It was basically a band of sort of broken,
yes.
They don't know how to control their powers, or they've got, you know, they're dealing with trauma or coming to terms with something from their past.
Well, they're just new, aren't they? That was the point, is that they've just been kind of captured because they're new and they're dangerous because they haven't fully realised their powers yet.
Yeah.
So they're kind of trying to figure out if they should keep them around.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So. And there were a couple of twists and turns, which I actually quite appreciated. And a little bit of a nod to the other sort of wider universe, which was good. I think visuals-wise, it was actually really well done. I loved the demon bear. I thought the demon bear was great. Magic was fantastic. And her little dragon.
Her dragon was cool.
It's interesting. I just don't feel like there was enough story there for me.
You wanted to be bigger, is that what you're saying? Like a more superhero-y kind of outing?
I don't know. Because from watching the trailers, I thought this was going to be like the first horror X-Men film.
Mm.
And there were sort of horror aspects, but it wasn't like fully realised in a way.
I think it was my kind of horror where it's not fully realised horror.
You're like, I can deal with this.
Horror's a weird genre because I feel like there are horror films that aren't that horrifying.
Yes, which I prefer.
And then there are horror films that are utterly terrifying.
Yes.
So, anyway.
It was just interesting. Yeah, I think Anya Taylor-Joy was by far the best. She was great. Yeah. Charlie Heaton from Stranger Things was also really good. Maisie Williams, bit of a dodgy accent, but I liked Wolfsbane. I thought that was good. And the new Danielle Moonstar, her power was interesting when you finally discovered what it was. Yeah.
So Flame on guy was a bit generic.
Yeah, it was a bit sort of the Flame from Fantastic Four.
Yeah, the Flame? But I mean, like his
Human Torch. Sorry, the Flame.
The Flamed. I wouldn't have even questioned you, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, in terms of his character, he was very
generic, sort of a football player. A manly man. That's not the word I was looking for.
Misogynist.
That's the one, like, Oriana Banger sort of thing. it just felt a bit underwhelming in a way. But it was fine, if that makes sense.
I think maybe it's because my expectations weren't very high. Like, I wasn't really interested in seeing it.
Whereas I was quite interested.
Yeah, and you were like, do you want to come to this one? I was like, nah. But then we were kind of down in London anyway, seeing my family, weren't we? So we just kind of thought on the way back, we'll just stop and see it. And I enjoyed it.
Okay, so how would you rate this then, Chris?
Yeah, I give it one thumbs up. I thought it was a reasonably solid.
Decent?
Yeah. I think it's better than possibly even some of the Marvel ones, the lower end ones.
Oh, that's fair.
For me. I mean, it is a Marvel one, right?
Well, it's Fox Marvel.
Yeah. It's Fox Marvel.
Definitely better than Dark Phoenix.
Fantastic Four, probably better than
I quite like the original. I don't know why.
The original. I meant like the more
recent, the new one. Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. same with you. I'd give this one thumbs up and it was fine. If you don't want to go to cinema, just wait for it to come on Netflix or something, probably. Yeah. It'll probably come on Disney Plus, right? So
probably.
It's worth for like a Sunday afternoon watch.
But it was a perfectly fine movie.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, next, Man of Tomorrow, Superman. You haven't seen this. I quite enjoy it. Go check out my review on the website.
Okay.
There you go. I really like this.
What is it, an animation?
It's an animation. Okay. I wasn't going to talk about it because obviously you're not a huge fan of the animated stuff. It's fine,
you
go over it.
You do quickly. Just really quickly.
I quite liked it. It was sort of a back to basics sort of origin, but slightly different origin for Superman. You're not a huge fan of Superman either, are you? Do you prefer Superman or Batman?
Superman definitely for me.
Okay.
I used to like Lois and Clark, the new adventures of Superman. I used to
love that, but then found out he's great. a Trump fan.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. It doesn't affect the show, does it? No, the show is good. the older movies and stuff, I used to quite enjoy those. Perhaps not so much lately. I don't know.
Okay. This is really good because it's sort of young Clark and he's just at the Daily Bugle. He's like the coffee boy at the moment. He just gets his costume in this. But what I really like about this, it's a totally new voice cast. And normally with like all the DCU films, they've been the same voice cast for years and years. Whereas this, it's sort of the new wave of films and they've shaken it up a bit. So you've got Zachary Quinto as Lex Luthor, which really suits, that really works for me. Brett Dalton as Parasite, that's great. Ryan Hurst as Lobo, I love Lobo. He was just fantastic. Darren Criss, you know, from Glee, he's actually voicing Superman. So it's kind of a new take on it. And I really appreciated that. It just felt a little bit new and fresh and like they're trying to start something else with it. And the main reason I really like this, it was you have Parasite, Lobo, Superman, they're all sort of the last of their kind, aren't they?
Right.
So there was a bit of an emphasis on aliens and mirroring with immigrants and migrants and things. It was an interesting sort of tale on there. Parasite was an interesting sort of inclusion as well. I quite enjoyed this. I gave it 3 stars. If you want to check out my review, that's at wehaveahawk.co.uk. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Where can you find it?
It's currently out on digital when we're recording this on the Sunday. But when it's released on the Monday, you can put it on Blu-ray and DVD. So there you go. Okay. So I think that's pretty much everything, unless there's anything else you can think of.
Venom.
Venom!
I really enjoyed Venom. I was surprised. I think it's because everyone just hates on it so much that I was just not expecting anything even slightly worthwhile.
Okay.
But I enjoyed the crap out of it. I thought it was a fun movie. I don't really like to use the word fun now.
Okay.
Kind of gone off this idea of calling things fun because some things can be fun and some things can be a different type of fun. I don't know. Yeah, I did feel like his character was a bit strange because it felt like his lines had been written for a teenage boy and yet...
Like Tom Holland sort of.
Yeah, like a Tom Holland may have worked a little bit better.
Oh my gosh, we forgot a big film.
Did we forget one?
Tenet.
What? We forgot Tenet.
How did we forget Tenet? Super quickly, let's talk about Tenet.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan, it's been delayed so many times. It's been the first film to hit cinemas since COVID happened.
Let's just say Christopher Nolan, right? I'm a bit sort of torn on him.
I feel like
he puts in little things to kind of confuse you on purpose and to kind of...
Think he's clever, but is he really?
Yeah. It's one of those, like, is that a clever thing to add or is that just adding confusion kind of thing?
Okay. Well, Chris's favourite, Nolan, is probably Interstellar.
Yes.
Let's just leave it there.
Well, Tenet's better. I would say, okay. Interesting. Yeah. I think for the most part, it doesn't really break any rules of sort of time travel and stuff. I mean, obviously, the concept itself is a little bit sort of... Would that really work? Probably not, but...
Inversion, not time travel.
But I don't think they kind of... Yeah, I don't think it really breaks too many of the physical rules.
Okay.
And I really just like the way they did it with the kind of two sides of the room and everything. And I thought it was really clever. And I really want to go back and just watch it and try and figure out how things connect a little more because it is a bit confusing. And
yeah, like, you definitely pick things up the second time around.
But this one, to me, feels confusing in a clever way, whereas, okay. like, Inception felt confusing to me in a kind of, this is intentionally trying to be obtuse and try to confuse me where there probably isn't even that much depth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would recommend this one thoroughly.
Okay.
Good film.
Yeah, I think it... Now, without sounding too pretentious, I do feel like it needs to be seen on the big screen. I feel like it's just that experience, the crazy sound, and the visuals. And it's just, it's a big spectacle and it's just an experience really, isn't it? It's just...
What do you call the soundtrack?
Oh, crazy. the score.
The score, yeah. The instrumental.
Ludwig, oh, what's his name? I can't remember. Neil's probably shouting at me now. It's out now.
Ludwig von Beethoven.
Babble trap.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I feel like as well, the film, the kind of, the score was almost trying to make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Like there was actual kind of heartbeat moments where I felt like it was trying to manipulate my heart to move faster than that.
You will be exhilarated.
But I thought that was pretty clever. So,
yeah. I mean, just the visuals, hands down. I have no idea how they did the sort of reversing and the car crashes. And it was basically Nolan's take on Bond, wasn't it? I just loved the spy elements. I thought that was great. The performances were fantastic.
There were obviously moments where they were moving backwards through a scene where everything was going forwards and then they reversed it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was clever. Looked good.
Mm. I loved Robert Pattinson as Neil. I love how his name was just Neil.
Yeah. And the main guy was just called the protagonist.
Yeah.
How do you have a Neil and a protagonist? Do you know what I mean? That's so...
Random.
Different.
Mm.
I don't know.
It's
like not consistent. I like some consistency, guys. Come on.
Pattinson, honestly, how do you go from Harry Potter and Twilight to like...
He's really risen on my expectations, certainly, in the last
few years. He was my favourite out of this. He was fantastic.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
He was great in that Lighthouse film, even though the film was really weird.
The Lighthouse film? You mean The Lighthouse?
Yeah, that one.
he was fantastic as Neil. There's a lot of things to unpack in the film. There's a couple of twisty turnies because obviously it's a Nolan thing. And, I mean, sometimes it doesn't make sense, but just go with it, you know? The one thing I do have about this film, would be sometimes the dialogue is so hard to make out because either they're wearing masks or the score is so loud. And normally they just drop really important things in a random conversation.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute.
Again, I feel like that's Nolan in some ways. Like he's trying to be intentionally obtuse and stop you hearing certain points so that you can't completely follow it.
Yeah. But he's got a thing about masks, especially Tom Hardy. That bothers me about Nolan. Hardy does not deserve being put in mask, first of all. And it just muffles things. So I don't know whether they deliberately did that, but yeah, that was my only gripe with the film, I think.
Hmm.
So yes, but definitely I would recommend this. Definitely recommend seeing it twice, just so you can unpack it all, because it is a bit of a... When you first watch it, it's a bit of an assault on the senses, isn't it? And it's like, whoa. So with the second one, you can just sort of breathe and
You won't be as focused on the action because you already know what's going on. So you can kind of try
spot
and
little things.
Try and look in between the lines and see what's there, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
But for me, two huge thumbs up. I gave this 5 stars. Absolutely love this. Would highly recommend.
Yeah, same. 2 thumbs up. Great.
Boom. Okay, and that's the podcast.
That's the podcast today.
Yeah.
Yes. We haven't done the whole topics. I feel a bit bad.
Sorry, guys. I just because we're going to Wales, we were like, right, we gotta do this.
Gotta quick. Get one out. Yeah, immediately.
Gotta go pack now. So And
so see you later, losers. We're going on holiday.
To Wales.
To Wales.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
We're going to like a little, we're going to be completely off the grid, aren't we?
Well, I think so, yeah. And like no electricity I'm a bit nervous.
I'm going to have some sort of withdrawal condition.
You'd be like, well, the first place we're going, there's no charging points. There's just a USB thing. There's no TV. There isn't like a microwave or anything. Wow. So I think you're going to be like,
yeah.
What am I doing?
There probably won't even be cell service. I called it cell service. Do you know what I mean? Like 3G.
Oh, no.
Do you think?
I'm actually quite excited. I have written about 5 or 6 reviews in the past couple of days. So I'm actually looking forward to a break. So sorry, guys. There won't be that many updates coming. I need to relax and just... take a bit of a breather. So
yeah, you'll be there for one day and you'll be like, I gotta get home. Yeah. Can't handle this.
I need to write a review or a news story. I'm sure that always happens though, doesn't it? We try and take a break and then something huge happens. You're like, oh goodness gracious. Okay, so yes, thank you once again for listening. I hope you're doing fine and getting on with things. If you'd like to get in touch with us in any way, just to have a conversation about any of the films you watched or TV, how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
Right, well, I'm most active on Twitter, / We Have a Hulk Pod, where Nicola will happily chat to you all day long about various TV and...
Christopher Nolan, what's that?
What is this? We're also on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, / We Have a Hulk Pod mostly, except for YouTube, which is We Have a Hulk. And we got wehaveahulk.co.uk, which is probably... Nicola's biggest success story, where she does lots of reviews and news and everything. So go over there and get your daily dose of
not this hulky week,
goodness.
Hulky not goodness.
Week. Last week. Go back to last week.
Yes. Loads of reviews from Fantasia. So if you want to check out some indie films, you can start with those.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening and we hope to see you next time.
Bye.